Rogers and El Pacifico. Phil Hendry.
Good evening. Welcome to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and online at philhendryshow.com. Get a backstage pass. Make sure you're watching the frivolity here as we perform our show each and every night. Not only listen to it, but watch it. We got big plans in store for our video cast. We're very proud of the technical enhancements that we've made over the years to our video cast. We have a professional TriCaster. We have...
Well, what is that?
It's that computer. We have a major... You know.
Yeah, and see, there's the ocean and everything.
I understand, but that's a green screen, right?
Yeah, that's the green screen. We don't want to...
Yeah, but it looks like you're right in front of ocean. Who gets to do that? Nobody.
That's wonderful, Bud. I just didn't know what a TriCaster was. I thought it for a moment there, it sounded... Robert didn't sound like something you barbecue.
Yeah, I thought it sounded like a tri-tip.
No, it's not a tri-tip. It's a TriCaster, okay?
What's tri-tip?
It's a beef roast... That you barbecue.
What's that mean?
Do I have to...
Yeah, Bud, a tri-tip is like, yeah, it's like a roast that you barbecue. It's delicious. You've had tri-tip, haven't you?
Yeah, they say it's tri-tip, but I don't know what it means.
But you like it, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
But what is it?
It's freaking meat. Never mind, okay? So, welcome to the show. Now I'm hungry. Thanks a lot for that.
Well, you're the one that's saying tri-tip, or not tri-tip, but you said tri-caster.
Yeah, remind me of tri-tip.
Yeah, now I want some tri-tip. No, God. Tri-tip. Now I'm going to get on tri-tip. Now all I can do is think about tri-tip. The seasonings, the barbecue sauce.
Well, just concentrate, Phil. Think of...
Yeah, get your mind... Like, imagine if you had a bucket of Kentucky chicken, okay?
That's getting me hungry, too.
Yeah, but... They cooked a rat in it, and they found a rat.
Oh, man, you are...
Well, that got my mind off it.
Yeah, that cured me, Bud. Thank you very much.
Yeah, see? See?
Okay, great. You cured me. Thank you.
See?
I see, man. Thank you. Bud.
Don't get angry at me on account of the rat in a chicken.
Man, you don't talk about a rat in a chicken.
Well, it is true. I think they found a dead rat in some... Well, I shouldn't say.
Let's not say anything that we're not really clear about, okay? That is about as vile a thing as I could Oh, God. Somebody was... I saw an article, by the way, about coffee. About coffee. Was it coffee in America? Or was it... It had something to do with coffee and the coffee that we drink and the... Some of the things that they found in these industrial coffee pots, these big industrial coffee brewing machines for restaurants and elsewhere, I can't even...
They found a rat?
I don't want to say, okay?
What are you talking about? Like, that's good news for you?
Yeah, Phil, would you watch him, please? He gets this gleam in his eye when he says rat.
Well, they found a rat in it.
Okay, but what are you all excited about that for?
I don't know.
God, guys like you are really weird, Bud, you know that?
I mean, guys like me, that's racism.
No, it's not, man. Talk about how weird you are.
Yeah, you're getting a gleam in your eye every time we mention rat in a coffee pot. Rat in the chicken, Bud. God.
Well, it serves him right.
Serves who right? Serves who right?
People that ordered it.
What about the people that cooked it, man? What about those jackasses? Are they responsible?
No. They cooked it, but the guy shouldn't have ordered it.
Are you crazy or something? What makes you think that man deserves that?
Shouldn't have ordered it.
Listen, clown, if I go to Jack in the Box and or Kentucky Fried Chicken and I want chicken, I'm going to order chicken. Don't you think that's what I'm going to order?
You could. You could also get a chicken sandwich, or you could get the curly fries.
What are you talking about? I don't curly fries.
Well, you can get, like...
Don't give me that bull crap. If I go to Kentucky Fried Chicken, I'm going to order chicken. And if I order chicken and I find a dead rat in there, that's my fault?
Well, why'd you order the chicken?
Because it's a chicken place, you jackball!
Man!
Bud, when was the last time you had any kind of medical checkup? Any kind at all?
Well, I better not say.
No, I want to know. A medical checkup.
The guy put his finger in my butt.
Oh, will you get out of here?
Never mind.
All right. Welcome anyway, folks, for the 15th and last time to the show. World-famous Phil Hendry Show. And tonight, I think little Ian Anderson was going to join us for a segment on the top 25 highest-paid athletes in the world. And we have that list for you, and we're going to be reading into that in just a moment. We've got some other news to report on as well. that lady, the little old lady who won the lottery, the big Powerball, whatever the hell it was. Apparently the story is when she released a statement to the media, because you can take your choice. They give you a number of choices when you win these large amounts of money. You can either take the money payout in a different way, or I should say, and or the way that you present yourself to the press, the way that you are interviewed by the media. You can opt out of media interviews. You can say, I'd rather not, you know, because the media wants to interview you. But if you do, they would like some kind of a statement. So she did give a statement, and she said that she was given her place in line by a gentleman behind her. And I'll give you the specifics of the story, but she basically said, or he said to her, oh, that's okay, you can take my place, I'm waiting for somebody, or I'm, you know, doing something. And so she took the place of this chap who otherwise would have bought that ticket.
Well, I don't know. How does it work? Do they buy?
Yeah, they buy a ticket.
Buy a ticket. I mean, I don't know, you know, the ticket that was sold to the individual in that place in line was sold to that lady.
Yes.
And so it would have been sold to that guy.
Oh, I see what Margaret's saying. No, it might not have been.
Why wouldn't it have been?
Because if she took the place, say, she took the place of the guy, but he was already there.
No.
Okay, so he was already there.
Yeah, but he's in the line behind her.
Okay, so he's in the line behind her. What about it?
He bought her ticket.
No, bud, no, 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 no. When that man put his finger in your butt, what...
Wait, hold on for a minute.
No, I want to know, was it a doctor?
Yeah, it was a doctor. What do you think it was on account? Oh, wow. Oh, wow. You think I got molested? Oh, wow.
Take it easy, will you? Was he checking your prostate?
Yeah. Did she think, oh, wow.
Will you take...
Oh, my God, what's with him?
Well, you're all talking about me being molested.
No, we're not. Say that again.
Dog, it don't make any sense, man. That lady bought the ticket. If she had not been in that line, a man would have got that ticket.
Not necessarily.
Yes, necessarily.
I think the man that had his finger up you-know-where was a brain surgeon, thank you.
That's dirty pool.
That's my story. I'm sticking to it.
All right, in any event, I don't want to talk about any of that any longer. I'm missing my glasses. It looks to me as if we have to get into this break so that I can go and perform my ablutions as well as...
Let's perform ablutions.
I don't know. It's just some crap that I heard a friend of mine say once and sounds good. But I got to go get my glasses, too. And we will have little Ian Anderson along with us. He's going to be talking to us about these top... we haven't talked to little Ian in a while. Big soccer fan. He's a big Wigan Athletic fan. We're going to talk to him about them winning the FA Cup and how they got relegated anyway. It's a lot of soccer talk, but with little Ian, you never know where it's going to go. And Bud, stay out of it because he hates your guts.
Yeah, I hate his guts too.
Great. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
I can't believe it.
Phil Hendry Show.
Do you want to do that?
Instead, you want to talk about... Hey, he said he wanted to talk about... hey, Ian, what do you want to talk about?
I want to talk about FA Cup.
Hey, Ian, it's Phil Hendry. How you doing, man?
Oh, I'm Siri. How are you?
Good. So I thought we were going to talk about you just want to talk about FA Cup, right?
Well, I talk about Wigan Athletic. I'm not really all that conversant, you know, with American sport. I could talk a little bit.
You like football?
I said I like football. It was English football, English soccer.
You said you like football.
Right, I said football, English soccer.
English soccer. They call it football over there.
Yeah, but he said football.
I know he said football, man. What are you, like today, extra stupid?
It's not extra stupid every day. Every day I talk with Bud Dickman, he's extra stupid every day.
Yeah, you were born extra stupid. You're stupid in extra time on a soccer game.
Oh, that's so funny. That's so funny. It's amazing how all this comes out of your brain. You're so funny. You're so funny.
Yeah, I'm funnier than you.
Well, you're funnier looking than me. That's for sure.
All right, all right. So if you guys get going, we're never going to separate the two of them. I want to talk to Ian here, if you don't mind, Bud, about Wigan Athletic. And because, you know, we follow the English game here, Ian, as you know.
Right.
And we were following the Premier League, but it got kind of, for me, it got a little boring because it was already wrapped up by Manchester United.
Right. Well, Manchester United, they had a brilliant year, you know. Just a great year. And Manchester City did not have their year they thought they'd have. And Manchester City won a premiership last year, 2011 or 2012, won a premiership last year on the last game of the season, right? So this year, though, they got just a bit knackered there toward the end. I think that Manchester United took the whole English premiership. Right, so it was not, but also it was a good run for Champions League.
The Champions League. Now, the Champions League is the league that is Europe-wide, right?
Right, they play all the clubs in Europe, right.
And which teams from the English Premier League get to play in the Champions League?
The top four finishers.
Which ones is they?
I was going to say, mate, if you let me talk.
Yeah, let him say, bud.
Well, which are they?
I was going to say, if you let me talk, please. It's, you really bloody big mouth on you. I forgot all of what I was going to say.
I know two of them. It's Manchester United and Manchester United.
There's not two Manchester United, you fool.
No, you're the fool.
Hold on for a minute. Manchester United and Manchester City, right, Ian?
Right, Manchester United and Manchester City.
Well, okay, it's the same thing.
No, it's not the same thing. It's not the same thing. It's like saying the L.A. Lakers are the same as the L.A. Clippers.
What?
Or the L.A. Lakers the same as the L.A. Clippers.
What?
The basketball team, bud. Do you understand what he's saying?
It's bloody stupid. But they are Manchester United and
Well, to answer your question, no, they're not.
Fine, we got it.
Yeah, I got that. I just want to make sure you knew, which you do, and that's good.
Of course I know.
If you open your mouth one more time, bud.
I'm sorry.
Right, so Manchester United, Manchester City, Arsenal and Chelsea.
Arsenal and Chelsea. And those four will play in the Champions League.
Those four will play in the Champions League, right.
Now, who won the Champions League this year?
Well, the Champions League was won by a German team, and I don't remember. I thought it was Munich. Bayern Munich, I think.
Yeah, I think the Munich team.
Right. Yes, I thought it was a Munich team.
Okay. So what's interesting to me is that the English soccer plays concurrent. They play their English soccer league, the English league, the premiership, as you say, and all the other divisions. And then they also are in their Champions League competitions, right?
Right, right. It's all runs parallel. It's all like in the same, and they play in the Champions League. And also they play the FA Cup, right? And so the FA Cup was a brilliant FA Cup this year.
Now, this FA Cup was the biggest upset since that scarf that I have. Wimbledon beat Liverpool, right?
That's right, at Wembley Stadium in 1988, when Wimbledon beat Liverpool 1-0. And the same score this year was Wigan Athletic 1 and Manchester City 0.
Why do you call it 0?
Because they don't call it 0, that's why they call it 0.
Yeah, we call it 0.
When you write your autobiography, you can put that in the title, you know?
What's that supposed to mean?
Will you shut up, bud?
Bud, shut up, because I want to listen to this, too.
All right.
Yeah, you say, all right, and then later on you'll be coming, blowing back in here like a hot, like a big hot wind, just all blah, 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 blah. Why don't you shut up and listen and try to learn something?
Nothing to learn about soccer.
Well, yes, there is a lot for you to learn about soccer. I know more about American football than you know about soccer.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do.
All right, hold on.
Okay, who's Tony Romo?
What?
Who's Tony Romo?
He's a quarterback
Yeah, you don't even know.
Dallas Cowboys.
He's right, Dallas Cowboys.
Okay, who won
the Super Bowl, the Baltimore Ravens.
You're cheating.
All right, so Wigan Athletic won, and then the final thing is Wigan Athletic got relegated, didn't they?
That's right, Wigan Athletic got relegated. They had to win last two games of the year because the FA Cup came the FA Cup came with two games left in the Premier League, and they had to win both those, and they was not able to. One of the games was against Arsenal, so it was not going to be a very easy time. A lot of people was hoping for it, though.
Are you a Wigan Athletic fan?
Well, I'm not. I was this year because I like. I took a liking to Wigan Athletic because I like the team. The blokes, they all look like they're got a good spirit on that club, you know. And I saw them get into a fist fight, right, on a pitch, or one of the games.
They got into a fight?
Yeah, the players on their own side.
The team members?
You're right. Wigan Athletic side, they got in a fist fight.
The players fought them each other on their own team.
Right. And I thought, you know, that's my kind of... It's my kind of team. They got a lot of spirit, you know.
That's the stupidest thing, get into a fight and everything.
Well, right, I thought you was writing your autobiography about being a big zero, right?
Yeah, well, you write your autobiography, and it's going to be called...
Would you shut up, bud?
It's going to be called Little Ian. I'm Nil.
That's not quite as funny, bud.
Yeah, it's not funny, bud.
Yeah, it is. Little Ian equals Nil. Don't you get it?
No, I don't get it, mate. Nobody else gets it. It's better if I say Bud Dickman equals zero. Everyone understands that.
Yeah, well, you're Nil.
Bud, I'm kicking you out of here for the whole night if you don't shut up right now.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, well, you say you're sorry. You don't mean it.
Okay, Ian, let's just stick to what we're talking about. All right, so Wigan Athletic got relegated. That means they got knocked out of the Premier League, and they're down to where now?
Well, yeah, right. Wigan Athletic got knocked out of the Premiership. And now they're playing in something called a Championship League. It's a Championship League, see?
Now, the Championship League is a division below the Premier, the number one division in English football, which is the Premier League.
Yes, sir, that's correct. It's sponsored by Npower. Right? It's like an energy drink. So they call it Npower. But it's called Football Championship, right?
It's called Npower?
Right, it's a sponsor. Oh, no. Well, maybe it's not Empower. I think Empower might be League One, League Two. But in any event, that's a Wigan's going to have to go down there.
Now, who got promoted from Championship?
Well, Cardiff, I think it's Cardiff did. And Cardiff is a Welsh team. And I think Hull City.
What is it?
Hull City.
Hull City, H-U-L-L.
Right, Hull City. That's also Cardiff, though, is going to be a Welsh a club. And they've got a good, a good derby they're going to have with the Swansea.
Now, what do they call that, a derby? In English football, they call a derby what?
Well, a derby is like your main rivalry.
It's the main rivalry. So when you have the two teams playing from that area, it's the derby.
Right, it's like a derby. It's like when Manchester United plays Manchester City, or they have Everton plays Liverpool, right? Or like now they'll have Cardiff playing Swansea. And there's also other teams, right, that have a good derby that they do, too.
Well, okay, brother. Thank you very much, Ian, for joining us here. And we look forward to soccer, you know, English football. I'm into it. Although our football takes precedence for me. You understand that?
No, I understand, right. In the autumn time, Americans, you know, they love to watch American football. But later on, you know, and it's not much going on, you should watch English soccer.
And a lot of people like to watch that European Champions League and all that stuff, huh?
Right. It's a lot of fun.
Okay, Ian.
Yeah, just can I say one thing?
Go ahead.
Just remember, American football in a fall, in a autumn.
Right, mate. I know all about American football.
Yeah, well, we watch it then. We're not going to watch no soccer then, just so you know.
Right, I got it all figured out, right? I even know... how to count to 10. You think about that, huh?
Hey, that's great. It's an improvement, huh?
Right, it's a big improvement, right? Now I know how to count to 10, but I know add the number 0 to the title of your book.
What?
Never mind, you know, I hate him so much.
Right, Ian, thanks very much.
I hate him.
See, you get him upset, and there's no reason to, Bud.
That guy comes on to seem to tell me about everything that there is.
You bait him, you won't give the guy a chance to talk. It's the usual Bud Dickman problem with your big fat mouth. Blah, 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 blah.
What about him going blah, blah, blah?
Did I not invite him on the show to talk about something? Did I invite him on the show?
Yes, sir, you did.
Okay. So he gets to go blah, blah, blah. When you butt in, especially when you were being rude. See, he's a guest. You're being rude.
He's not really a guest.
Yes, he is, and he's talking about things we want to know about, like the Wigan, the,
Yes, you don't even know.
Yes, I do. The Wigan... What is it?
Wigan Athletic.
And what is that?
It was the football club.
The soccer, yes. He was talking about Wigan, and... I don't know. I'd rather not talk... No.
What, you think that sounds suspicious?
I do.
I will be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show. So now we're thinking that's obscene.
It's the way he said it, Wigan, you know.
Phil Henry. World-famous Phil Henry Show.
Hey, welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. There is a football game, if you love history the way I love history, and I love it, I love to immerse myself in it in any way that I can. And if you have one of the best things to do, and on the line with me here is Bill Clendenin from Clendenin Can Do, sports book, etc. How you doing, Bill?
I'm doing very well, Phil. Thank you for bringing me on your program.
Well, it's our pleasure. I want to talk to you about the top 25 athletes, but I just thought I'd bring you on because one of the things that I saw on YouTube the other day was the entire 1970 NFC game. Have you seen that?
I have not. I've not seen that yet. No, I have not.
It's the entire game, and the reason why I found it interesting is because it's the 1970 NFC Championship game going into January of 71. I think the game was actually played in 71. And the 71 Super Bowl was between the Dallas Cowboys and the Baltimore Colts, a game that the Colts won on a field goal. But it was one of the worst played games, not because the players did not execute or perform well, but because they were playing on an artificial turf that had been installed at the Orange Bowl that literally had melted a bit in the heat of the sun. Have you ever heard of anything like that, Don?
I have not heard of that. I know that the old artificial turf that they would put into some of the stadiums was certainly not up to the grade that they have today, and that today they have grassy turf.
Yeah, they have the grassy turf, which simulates actual real grass. And back in those days, the AstroTurf or the PolyTurf or artificial turf was literally, it was just this very flexible plastic made to look like green grass.
Yes, it was, and the consistency of it was not as obviously not like grass, and that I knew it caused some problems, but I never heard the story about it melting.
Well, it melted or it got soft to the point where the cleats, the shoes worn by the players just wasn't working, and there was a lot of sloppy play, a lot of drop passes, and a lot of screwy plays. But it was won by the Colts. Well, this is the NFC title game. The reason why it was interesting to me is two things. First of all, it's the last game that the 49ers ever played at Kezar Stadium. So if you ever want to get a good look at Kezar on television, there it is, the 1970 NFC game. And Kezar Stadium was an interesting-looking ballpark. You just don't see football stadiums like this on TV anymore. I mean, there was a building that looked like they put the lawnmowers in it, and that's where that was. And then there's like a terrace, and then there's a... really weird. And but the game was called by CBS, and the play-by-play guy was Ray Scott. Don, you remember him?
I do remember Ray Scott. He was one of the best in the business, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, Ray Scott called the game, and Ray Scott was the prototype of the modern announcer. And what I mean by that is Ray Scott was a minimalist before it was popular. Back in those days, guys were calling everything they saw on the field, and they would tell you what was going on, and even though you were looking at it yourself, because you have a TV and you can see exactly what's going on, then why do they have to say it goes down to the 5, to the 10, to the 15? You know, it was ridiculous. Ray Scott was the guy, one of the very first, if not the first, who would say simply, you know, Brody, Kwolek, touchdown. He would call the high points of the action, leaving the rest to you because you're watching it. And, it became a classic style, and it became one that was copied. Anyway, I saw him on this game.
And was he doing the... You know, when you look at a guy like Ray Scott, because I used to work with Ray, I was a scorer for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in the 70s when Ray was, he had 2 years with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in the radio booth.
Yeah, that was when they weren't winning, right?
Exactly. They went 26 straight games without I think it was 26 straight games, if not 23 straight games without winning. But Ray was not so minimalist that he didn't call the action a little bit more than what you described, Phil. But I think people remember him that way because of his because of the perception. I guess is the thing I want to say. And he was partnered up with Pat Summerall. And I always wondered if Summerall did something to get the number one job, because Ray was fired by CBS in 1974, I think it was.
Yeah, I read that. And so why do you think it was Summerall?
Well, Summerall took over the lead spot there on the CBS broadcast team. He got partnered up with Tom Brookshire, who was another guy that I recall with some familiarity. And him and Brookshire went on to great heights with CBS, and then Brookshire was summarily dismissed under very suspicious circumstances, and on came John Madden.
Well, why do you say suspicious circumstances?
Well, it was always my feeling that Summerall had been angling for this lead slot for a long time, and when they brought him on to work with Ray Scott, I felt uncomfortable. I felt I liked both of them very much, but I remember looking at Summerall coming into the booth and feeling uncomfortable, feeling as if I'd seen him somewhere before, or I knew something of him that I didn't want to know, but I didn't know what it was, you know.
So Summerall you didn't like?
No, I didn't like him, and I shouldn't say that it was based on nothing other than an uncomfortable feeling that I would get. Where have I seen him? Where were we together? And I remember feeling bad for Ray, because I knew it was only a matter of time. This was based on nothing, Phil. Nothing more than the hunch that Pat Summerall was bad news. And then Ray got fired, and I remember going home and talking to my wife. We were newly married at the time, and I said I should have said something, and she said, was it Ray? And I said, Ray died today, which was what we say when you get fired, you know?
Yeah.
And she said, Summerall? And I said, I've got to believe it, yeah. And she asked me, why didn't you say something about it? And I said, I don't know. And I remember she threw her dish towel down, she took her apron off, and she walked out of our apartment and was gone for 3 days.
Your wife?
Yeah, she was gone for three. When I finally asked her, I said, where were you? And she nodded and went into the bedroom, and I knew who it was. It was a guy down the hall that had been looking at her. Not at her. He was looking at her, not at her. Blank, blank, blank. He was looking at her. So I knew that she was thoroughly dismissed.
Wait. Your wife, she cheated on you as the result of what?
Well, I think that was what was. It was a mile too far, you know, Phil, when I said to her that I didn't do anything about Ray Scott, and I knew that Summerall was angling for his job. I think that's what made her feel she was married to essentially the palace eunuch, and she threw the apron down, threw down the dish towel. She said, well, she didn't say anything, but I knew where she was going, you know. And so I very patiently made my own dinner and breakfast for the next 3 days, listening to this, you know, that kind of relentless pounding on the wall, you know, that you're familiar with that, right, Phil?
No, I'm not familiar with. Are you saying she was next door?
Oh, yeah, she was. She was. This was a guy who had just returned from Vietnam, had a lot of problems, physical and mental problems, but was someone that we helped out, and so I knew that she had gone over there, and, you know, for 3 or 4 days, all you're hearing is just that pounding on the wall, and the only thing I can describe it, compare it to, Phil, is...
Let me just interrupt you here for a second, all right?
Sure, Phil.
Oh, we don't need to hear this story. Let's forget about Pat Summerall.
Well, I'm so sorry. I know I dragged it out, and...
No, it's okay, but the story is just sounding more depressing as we go along. Because this involves your marriage. You were talking to us about Ray. Let's suffice to say Ray Scott was brilliant.
Ray Scott was brilliant. you know, amen, brother. Ray Scott was one of the best. There's no question about it, Phil.
All right, we're talking here with Don Clendenin from Clendenin Can Do Sportsbook, and we are going to discuss here the top 25 paid athletes in the world, Don?
Yeah, that is absolutely correct. These are the top 25 people in sports, Phil, the highest paid athletes in the world. And you'll be surprised, or maybe not so surprised, that a lot of them are Americans, but that is the blessing that comes with living in our great country. The rewards when you are appreciated and the work that you do is appreciated.
Number 25.
Number 25 is Carmelo Anthony. He makes $28 million, the total money earned in the past 12-month period. And Carmelo Anthony plays for New York. They wear blue and orange. And shorts, I couldn't tell you what the sport is.
Karma, it's basketball. Does it say basketball?
The what we put together, Phil, were just the salaries and the name of the individual, but I don't know the sport.
You have a sports book?
Well, it's online, yeah.
Okay, you have an online sports betting service, and you don't know the sports these guys play in.
Well, it's not, I don't think it's anything to indict an individual over, because I'll tell you why it's a pure view, an objective view of sports. I don't know what sport Carmelo Anthony play. You say it's basketball, I will defer to you. All I can tell you is I'm looking at the uniform that he's playing.
You don't recognize his uniform as a basketball uniform?
I don't recognize it as a baseball uniform, or if he could be playing football. I don't watch a lot of these sports, not anymore, used to. But Carmelo Anthony...
Yeah, Phil, we're running out of time.
All right, sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, thank you, Margaret. Carmelo Anthony, $28 million. He is at the bottom of the pile of 25. You can believe that, Phil.
All right, number 24.
Number 24, Phil, $28.8 million earned over the last 12 months, and that is Tony Romo. Tony Romo, and he wears number 9, and he wears a... there's something on his head. And the ball is not round.
Football.
It is football, okay? Whatever you say. But number 9.
This is...
You don't even know the sport, sir?
Is that Bud Dickman, the famous Bud Dickman?
Yes, sir. You don't know the sport?
Bud, I will tell you that I used to follow sports. Right now I have a sports book. I have a sports betting agency. And so all we're interested in is taking people's money and then paying out money when people win the bet. But I can't tell you anything about the sports.
Well, how do you set the odds? How do you set the line? How do you know what the line's going to be, for instance, in football, if you don't know anything about the sport?
You don't have to. In my line of work, you know, you're asking me some questions to get into the tricks of the trade and some trade secrets here, Phil. When I set the line for, let's say, the Cowboys are playing the Penguins, or I look and see what games. If the Penguins are playing the Cowboys...
Well, it wouldn't be the Penguins and the Cowboys. Penguins are hockey and the Cowboys are football.
Well, it doesn't matter. Whatever it says, it'll say, all right, so whoever the Cowboys are going to play in football, correct?
Yeah.
Then we'd say, all right, well, look at that. The Cowboys versus this team, how many people are injured? And then you take the number of people injured, and then you say, for instance, what's the statistics? Is he number 1 or number 3?
So, in other words, you just look at statistics and who's injured, but you don't look at the... You don't know anything about the game.
You don't have to. All you have to do is look at where each player is, and...
Are you successful?
We pay out a lot in the money. People are winning.
So you're not successful?
You say that's not successful? People love to come to Clendenin Can Do.
Well, Clendenin Can Do, when it comes to paying out what people are betting the house here, the house is losing.
Because you don't know anything about the sports.
That's not how we look at it. What we look at it this way. We say, here's what we think, and here's what you think, and so far... People coming through the door, they're beating our brains in. But we feel that that is a service.
Well, how can you stay in business?
How can we stay in business doing what?
Doing the sports book, man. How do you do that?
Well, we're in business. We pay them. And, you know, I don't know. I don't know what the nature of your question. If someone wins, then we pay them.
What? Let me ask you this. Maybe I should ask you this question.
I don't like it when you feel you went the sports book. Boy.
Well, he does that a lot, Don.
I'll bet. That scared me, Phil. That scared me on behalf of you. It scared me on behalf of you. I wasn't scared personally, But when you went, the sports book, I felt a need to. I wanted to cover you. I wanted to throw myself on top of you, almost as if what came out of your voice or your mouth was a hand grenade, and I needed to jump on you to save you from what you just did, you see.
Let me ask you this before we go to our break, because we have to take a break. How much money are people allowed to bet? How much money are people allowed to bet on these individual games?
Oh, we've got a limit of $2. So,
$2?
$2? That's the most money?
Yeah, well, yeah. That's a lot of money. That's a lot of money. $2, but you get odds.
Okay, so I put down $2, and what's the odds? What am I going to get?
Well, you can get 30-1.
Okay, so that's $60.
Yeah.
See, you just went, yeah.
Well, okay, maybe I'm learning from Phil Henry. I'm learning the Phil Henry School of Panic, but
No, I'm not panicking. Hold on, Don. Are you ready for that?
Well, it answers your question as to why he's still in business.
He's still in business because even though he's getting his ass beat, it's a $2 limit. We'll be right back. This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Don Clendenin from the online sports gaming company Clendenin Can Do. We'll be right back. World-famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. We're talking with Don Clendenin of Clendenin Can Do, which is a famous sports book online. And Don's, and I didn't know this, Don, but his secret of success or secret to success is you're not very good at picking, at setting the line or picking the teams that are going to win.
Well, now, Phil, I wouldn't go that far, but we do. People come to our... to Clendenin Can Do, and we do, and we can do, and we've been doing it to the tune of there's a good 86% to 90% chance that you're going to win at Clendenin Can Do, and that's what makes us very proud. And Phil, you're asking how do we stay in business?
Well, you're losing every week. You're losing, and you're losing to your customers, which I guess makes them feel good, but you're staying in business by a $2 limit.
Yes, yes, that's right, and I heard you laughing about that. I was just wondering what was so funny about that. I play poker for $2 limits. You can really rake in some money, you know.
Well, you can rake in money $2 limit. I mean, that's what I used to play when I was in high school or something. You know what I mean?
Well, you may have played it in high school. I can tell you that, boy, I may. You know, you and I lead two different lives. Obviously, I don't know where you're coming from.
When you watch the World Series of Poker, okay, you see the stakes that they're playing for in the World Series of Poker.
There's no one in the sports book business online that's going to take action like that, Phil, I can tell you. We are doing what most Americans are doing, quarter ante. We don't do poker, but, you know, it would be a quarter ante game.
Yeah. A quarter ante, okay. So what's the highest single bet that you ever paid out?
Well, the single individual bet would be probably, we paid out $120 one time, but that guy bet $2 over a lot of different things. You know, he bet, I think, three races, and he bet...
$120, that was it.
Yes, Phil. Look, you have to understand that not everybody in this world is a high roller. Clendenin Can Do, and that's what we mean by that is you come on in, and you're going to be betting against a house... that, mercifully, is not too swift. And we say that not to insult ourselves, but we feel that the person that plays at Clendenin Can Do Sportsbook is going to have a pretty good shot at beating the house because we are not very good. I'm not very good at doing this. As you can tell, I don't even know what sports half of these gentlemen play, but... we have a lot of ideas, and that has worked well for us.
Well, how do you make any money? I don't understand. How do you make money?
Well, we make money a lot of different ways. We make money by, for instance, we have a business now where we're going to be delivering pizzas by way of remote control cars. Now, we did do it by way of remote controlled helicopters.
Okay, hold on. All right. So we're getting into more bizarre areas here, you know.
Well, this is, excuse me, Don, this is Margaret Gray. I don't understand. I want that question answered. I think it should be, how do you make money?
Well, on the sports book?
Yes, how do you make money?
We are not making money. We're nowhere losing money. But we're not losing it as fast as we would if we were allowing people to bet large amounts of money. So at the rate we're going, I will lose my home, let's say, I will lose my home in about 5 years.
Are you going to keep on going till you lose your home?
Well, as long as people are enjoying Clendenin Can Do, I don't know why.
Why would you want to lose your home?
I don't want to lose my home. But I'm going. You have to understand, I'm going to get better at this.
Well, I hope so, so you can hang on to your house.
Well, yes, I'm going to get better at this. And as I get better, then people will start losing. But guess what? If they start losing, then they're not going to want to come to Clendenin Can Do.
Yeah, well, so? Then what? Good, they'll still want to come and want to win.
Well, maybe they'll want to win, but if I get too good, they won't want to come, isn't that right?
No, man, that's not how it works. You know, nobody knows anything about it. Anyway, thanks very much. I got to take a break here. Don Clendenin, folks, from Clendenin Can Do. You're delivering pizzas by way of remote-controlled cars.
Yeah, we were using remote-controlled helicopters, little toy helicopters, but one of my employees had mounted an actual... a machine gun. No one got hurt, but as the helicopter hovered at the front door and rang the doorbell and the person came, he was fired on. And he hit the deck, and thank God in heaven that no one was hurt. You there, Phil?
Yeah, I'm here. Thanks a lot, Don. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
If he's lying,
welcome back here, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. Our radio show is also a new media digital offering. We're online every night. We have a live video cast of our show, as well as the following day, a podcast of our show, as well as each day, a classic podcast. We draw from the archives of our show, 5,000 hours and 15 years of material. And I was just thinking about it, 13, 14 years of material, and create a classic podcast for you, as well as the archives themselves, which you are more than welcome to access. We have a video archive. We have a 1.5-year archive of our KFI Los Angeles Saturday night show and the video cast that we did there. All kinds of other goodies at philhendryshow.com. Pick up a backstage pass for a month. You can get one for 3 months. Excuse me, you get one for a month, 6 months, or a year. And it's well worth it, man. There's an enormous archive of material for you to pick through. Now, if you were watching us, if you have a backstage pass and you're watching Phil TV, because that's what we call our video cast each night, and we do a lot on Phil TV. We don't just do our show, but we also have a Saturday night movie where we play a lot of film noir. Sometimes we'll jump on here with football games, all kinds of weird stuff. We also run during the regular season the Milwaukee Lions audio on Phil TV. But if you were with us during the newscast, we were talking. Dan was telling me about a Domino's pizza in England that is, and I don't know whether this is a gag or not, but they have a supposed test program. Like right now, you know, I could be.
Well, you think they're kidding?
I don't know. It could be just a gag for the TV commercial. But there's a Domino's pizza in England that was or is trying out the delivery of pizzas using remote-controlled helicopters, the little toy remote-controlled helicopters. Now, you just heard Don Clendenin say that they had tried that here in the United States. He had a franchise for that, and somebody, some smartass, mounted a machine gun. I don't buy it, but...
Well, then it opened up.
Yeah, I don't buy that at all, that a machine gun opened up on the guy when he opened his door for his pizza. But the point is... If you look at Phil TV right now on screen, if you had a backstage pass, you'd see we're rolling this video. And this is the Domino's Pizza in England. And the guy is loading the pizza into a package that is in a little hammock underneath this helicopter. It's like a big clamp. And the helicopter takes off, one of those toy helicopters. The guy is in the Domino's parking lot with the remote. And I don't know the range on these things, but it's flying. They've got cameras mounted on this, and it's flying over, what do they call that, Margaret?
That's the commons.
Yeah, it's flying over these parks, beautiful green space in England, flying over a canal now. It's going over a river. I mean, what, you know, what's the range on this thing?
Well, probably about, maybe about to 2 miles.
2 miles. Now it's flying and it's flying and it's flying. And it's got this pizza in the big pizza warming thing, you know, that big sleeve they put it in. And there's a guy standing out in front. There's a guy standing out in front of his house, and the pizza has landed. And the guy pulled it out of the thing, and now he has his pizza, and the chopper is taking off and flying away. Now, you know, my question, of course, is this for real? Or...
Well, if it is for real, then probably Pizza Hut and Little Caesar better get going.
You know, I like Little Caesar. Man, I don't eat Little Caesar.
I love Little Caesar's the best there is.
Well, I don't think... If I was running Pizza Hut, I wouldn't sweat the small stuff just yet.
Yeah, I think if this is an actual program, do you believe this?
I don't believe. I think it's a joke. I think they did it for the TV commercial.
What do you say? It's a joke. This is about one of the best things I've ever seen.
Yeah, if why? Yeah, why is it a joke?
Because I don't think it's workable. I don't know how many people you have to hire so that you have this network of little tiny helicopters that are flying all over the place.
Well, wait. You could have like one. Okay.
Well, what's the point?
The point is this. You got guys that are out delivering pizzas. If you have a delivery that's close by, for instance, where it just doesn't make sense to get a guy in a car, you could use the chopper that way. If you have someone, in other words, you could decide which deliveries warrant using the miniature helicopter.
Yeah, well, that might be embarrassing, man.
What do you mean?
I'd just be embarrassed.
Why would you be embarrassed?
You gotta go. Yeah, better use a little miniature helicopter. I mean, how do you know?
Well, I agree with Robert. I think you look like a horse's, as Frank likes to say, you look like the south end of a horse in a northward-facing barn. Okay?
Well...
Now, wait, I'm not done. You look like the south end of a horse in a... Would you get my husband on the phone, please?
Yes, ma'am.
Wait a minute, Margaret. I want to finish this story.
Yes, you're going to finish your story. Frank says that you look like the back end of a horse.
Yeah?
Well, that's what he says about you, but I'm sorry, Phil. I'm trying to be funny.
That's very funny.
No, Frank says that you look like the back... Frank, is that you?
Yeah, who's this?
It's Margaret, dear.
Oh, hello, Margaret.
Frank, I want to ask you, what is the slit...
The slit?
No, not the slit. What's the slit... The slim...
What is the saying, Frank, that you use?
When you talk about the south end of a horse.
Oh, that's, if we see a guy acting like a horse's ass, and let's say she did something to make her look like a horse's ass, you know, then we'll say to the guy, you look like the ass of a horse facing north that has decided to back out of the barn and then go south. Okay.
Well, yes, but what is the actual saying?
That's the saying.
You're saying that's it?
Yes. You look like the south end of a horse. Wait a minute. You look like the ass on the south end of a horse, facing north, but backing out of the barn.
Well, so in other words, you look like the ass end of a horse facing north and going south.
No, I didn't say that, did I? See, I knew he'd butcher it. I didn't say that, did I? Did I, Margaret?
Well, what did you say?
I'll say it again. When a guy butchers it alive in the office, let's say she was supposed to print off some portfolio, or I don't know what we do in our office anymore. I'm so old, I have no idea what goes on in the law offices of Gray, Fitzgibbon, and Brown. All I know is the money continues to pour in, and I thank God daily because my wife, boy, does he like to spend it.
Frank, that is not fair, dear.
I'm sorry, but that's... So, in keeping with that, Margaret, I would say that your husband, Frank, meaning me, she looks like the ass on the south end of a horse facing north but backing out of the barn.
All right, if that's what you say, dear.
Yeah, that's what I say. Now, that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. Is that it?
That's fine, Frank. Thanks so much, sir.
All right, young man.
Okay.
All right, so in other words, You'd look... Well, I don't even know what it pertains to.
Yeah, thank you. We wasted a lot of time on that.
Well, what is with you? Thank you. I was trying to get it right.
I know what it is, Miss Gray. You look like the ass on a South End of a horse that was looking forward to it.
That was looking forward to it.
No, bud. You look like the ass on the south end of a horse facing north but backing out of the barn.
No, stable.
I think it was stable.
What difference does it make? It's the stupidest slogan I've ever heard.
Well, listen to you. You're all slut. You know why? Because you want to say slut.
No, I don't, Margaret.
Yes, you do. You've been... I'm going to the toilet.
Oh, come on, will you?
I'm sorry.
Well, she's been feeling that way for a while.
What are you talking about?
Well, it's the thing she wants to call her a slut.
Why do I want to call her a slut? I've never called her a slut.
Yeah, I don't know. It almost came after you. That's the slut, you know.
No, I said slogan. I was saying slogan.
I know that, and he knows that, and you know that, and she might even know that. But we don't know it.
Sure, okay, Robert. Thanks very much.
What?
You know what, man? On any given day, I don't know who is on my side around here. And by that, I don't mean that you guys mean me wrong. I just mean who's sane. On any given day, who took their medicine? That's the guy that I want to talk to. That's the guy that I have faith in. On any given day, I don't know which one of you guys is ready to just go off, man.
What are you talking about, me?
Yes, I'm talking about you. I know, and she knows, and you know, and I know. But we don't know. Man,
Phil, take it easy, man. Maybe you need to lay down and get a cup of coffee.
Sure, bud. That's what you want to do to relax. Lay down and get a cup of coffee. Okay.
Well, I mean, oh, like a cup of coffee, but a Xanax.
Xanax?
Yeah.
Sure. Okay. I'll get a cup of coffee and a Xanax.
What's that you're drinking right there?
Well, let's see, bud. It says, Diet Pepsi.
Oh, okay.
Man.
Is the coast clear?
Yeah, come on out, Margaret. I'm still here. We'll be right back, folks. We'll be right back. 877-876-PHIL. Of all the umpire-related stories that we've seen this year, here's one that's really odd. We'll tell you about it. Jordan Baker, a rookie umpire, who's getting noticed for tossing his gum into the outfield after every half inning. What's that about? We'll find out. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch.
You
the Phil
like
Hendry Show.
The ass end of a horse that backed out...
Build yourself.
I don't know if you can build yourself. Welcome back here, world famous Phil Hendry Show. And now we've gotten into a kick here, just very briefly, of looking at these remote controlled helicopters, you know.
Well, what are you thinking, Phil? Are you thinking that you're going to... What Don Clendenin said, Don Clendenin obviously is not a very bright man.
I wouldn't say that, but he looks at things differently. Don Clendenin is a guy that runs the sports book. He's a guy that... He had this weird twisted logic. He said that if enough people, I know what it was, he's going to lose money and then he's going to get better at what he does and then he's going to start to beat everybody and nobody will want to come to his place. I just think that while logically he may be thinking, you know, it may not be that crazy, the application, the actual end result is going to be disastrous.
So why are you watching this kid? Ladies and gentlemen, Phil is watching a boy here, which is a little disturbing.
What is that supposed to mean?
Well,
what is that supposed to mean?
Well, what are you watching this boy for?
He's got a helicopter.
Let's see the helicopter there.
Oh, all right. I didn't see that. I'm sorry.
God, what did you think I did?
Well, thought you were about $200 and say, hey, there's a boy.
Yeah, you're lingering over a boy channel.
Oh, is that what I'm doing? Okay, you know.
Look, don't get all upset.
I am upset.
Phil, I apologize. I didn't know why you were lingering over this boy.
I wasn't lingering. I'm looking at that helicopter the kid's got. You sick...
Oh, my God, you were going to call me a slut again.
No, I was not. I was not. But I'll tell you something right now. It was equally as bad.
Excuse me.
Oh, boy.
No toilet paper.
What?
No toilet paper.
All right, well, then I'll just use the pages of this book.
Wait a minute. That's one of the notebooks, man. Show notes.
Too late.
She didn't use the pages of our show notes, did she?
All right, is that the show notes?
There's a date here and something about hour one. I guess so.
Please don't wipe with those.
My God, you're letting everyone in on my business, aren't you?
Okay, I apologize, Margaret.
No, there's no line you won't cross.
When she comes back, would you please, could you just leave? Don't use that notebook, okay?
Oh, there you go. Number two. That's the second time you've gone over the line.
All right, let me get to the story here. Of all the umpire-related stories we've seen this year,
Here's your book. Whew. God, you guys are really, you're funny. I'm in there laughing. I'm laughing so hard, it's coming out in buckets.
All right, God.
Jeez.
Well, it's a natural act. How dare you look at me like I'm a pig? In any event, I'm laughing so hard, you're worried about your show notes, and you think I'm wiping my you-know-what with them? Woo! That's high comedy.
But I gotta admit, that is high comedy. Yeah, that's high, all right.
And I don't think that's the drug reference.
All right, so here's an umpire. His name is Jordan Baker. He's a rookie umpire who's getting noticed for tossing his gum into the outfield after every half inning. If he's umping like he was Tuesday night in the St. Louis Cardinal-Arizona Diamondback game, you'll see wads of gum behind him. The announcers of Tuesday's game noticed as much and talked about it on the air. That wasn't the only reason Baker was noticed. He also threw Diamondback bench coach Alan Trammell out of the game after an argument about a stolen base call. For what it's worth, it looks like Baker blew the call. But back to the gum throwing, you'll hear it described by TV announcers as Baker's tradition and a salute to baseball. If you ask a group of fans in San Diego, however, they'll tell you something different. A blogger from San Diego-centered sports site Lobshots took notice of Baker and his gum throwing last weekend. What followed is well documented on Lobshots, including the blogger giving Baker an earful because the ump was a disgrace to the game and disrespected the players, the field, the umpires, everywhere. Here's Baker tossing gum and getting booed by San Diego fans. So this dude gets booed by fans because he's tossing gum?
Well, they probably booed him on account of the bad call.
Yeah, threw out that coach.
Alan Trammell, who's a former Padre player, and I guess now is one of the coaches, he tossed him out of the recent game, the Diamondback Padre. Was that right? Oh, Cardinals and Arizona Diamondbacks. It was Alan Trammell was a Padre. I don't know if he played for Arizona. So he's tossing gum. He's getting booed. The gum graveyard is what they're... I'm laughing, you know.
Why would you... It's a very disgusting habit.
What is, chewing gum?
Yes, very disgusting. I think chewing gum is as vile and disgusting. And the other thing about chewing gum, it spreads disease more than any... You know, I really mean this. You know how AIDS was spread in Africa? By the bite of a monkey. You know that.
I thought there was people having sex with it.
No, man. Well, maybe, but it was an infection. It was a virus... carried by a monkey.
Yes. And before we start feeling special because we don't come from Africa...
My answer to come from Africa, I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
No, I'm saying because there isn't, let's say, Robert, a disease that is epidemic here like that. However, throwing gum, sticking gum under tables, gum anywhere is as destructive and infectious a source of disease... And I'm talking about oozing sore disease. I am talking, you know, Phil...
Oh, all right, okay, I get it.
I mean, really disgusting disease. The source of that, gum. And it is more of a source than any ape or baboon that you want to discuss.
What do you mean by ape?
I mean, that's the animal that spreads the AIDS, or did have the autoimmune deficiency disease. Okay. Bud?
Yeah, okay.
Well, you putting gum under a table, you putting gum in an outfield or whatever they're worried about, spreads disease, spreads destructive, maddening, fever dream disease more than any chimpanzee or apish creature. In other words, gum is the ape of American disease. It is the chimpanzee.
Talk about chimpanzee.
Ladies and gentlemen, Margaret believes in pronouncing chimpanzee, which what she calls...
Excuse me, you don't have to interpret for me. Hi, ladies and gentlemen, I'm Margaret Gray.
It's the French.
Excuse me. Hello, everyone. I'll start again. I'm Margaret Gray. Chimpanzee is the French pronunciation. Thank you. And now back to the Phil Hendry Show. There. You happy?
No, I'm not. I could have done it myself without the you giving yourself an intro. The fact is, I don't think anybody knows what you're talking about.
What do you... What don't they know?
Chimpanzee.
Well, now they do. Woo!
Yeah, all right. So, chimpanzee is like gum.
I didn't say that, Bud. God, you are... Bud, you're a monument to dumb. You really are. You're like one of the faces on the Mount Rushmore of dumb ass. The other three, I would say... Well, I'm sorry, Phil.
Oh, it's okay. Me and Robert.
And you?
No, not me, you dirty...
Watch it.
If there was a Mount Rushmore of stupid, I'd say Bud, Phil Hendry, Robert Leonard, and that two-bit little punk. I hate him, and...
Which, who's that?
Talking about R.C.?
Yeah, there you go. That R.C. Collins, that two-bit chiseling punk.
What do you mean chiseling?
Don't worry about it.
What do you mean chiseling? I don't understand that.
Don't worry. Get him on the phone. Do you have his number?
Yeah, I have to call up the Bradley Military Academy and everything. Probably wake up a person.
I don't care, but I don't even understand what you just said, but it sounded like something that would come from the mouth of a chimpanzee. Now call them.
Or we're getting... Okay, so thank you very much for running the show for me tonight. I had things I want to do.
No, you didn't, Phil. You're scrambling like you do every night. Call him, will you?
I'm not scrambling. I've got story. We haven't even gotten through... I'm going to do my gum story. Thank you very much.
That's fine.
So anyway, they're giving this guy, after Lobshots posted all this bullcrap, it says it received an email response from Baker's wife defending his gum throwing. The blog said it would post her retort, but it hasn't yet. It has, however, kept an eye on Baker. Why don't you guys at Lobshots, why don't you guys relax there at Lobshots, okay? You talk about a phony baloney controversy. So the guy throws his gum. Big wow. But you know what? It's giving you guys at Lobshots a little bit of love, a little bit of press. Print what the guy's wife said. You know, butch up, man up. Man up, dog. Man up.
That's a man-size hit, dog.
That's right. Take a man-size hit, dog. Man up and print the guy's wife's response. And then pull your skirts up around your knees and, you know, try to avoid the gum.
Ooh.
We'll be right back. World-famous Phil Hendry Show with R.C. Collins.
R.C.?
R.C. Collins, please.
Bud Dixon. Bye.
Phil
I'll hold.
Henry.
Welcome back. World famous Phil Hendry Show. R.C. Collins joining us from Bradley Military Academy. Got him on the line, and I don't know, Margaret, you were talking, not a very flattering way. R.C., you there?
Yes, sir, right here.
You want to?
R.C., hi, it's Margaret Gray.
Oh, yes, ma'am.
I was telling Phil that if there was a Mount Rushmore of dumbass, it would be Phil, it would be Bud, it would be Robert, and it would be you.
Yes, ma'am.
And you know what I'm talking about, don't you?
I believe that you were premature in making an estimation about it.
Well, but you know what I'm talking about.
Well, okay, yeah, I do.
Well, what are you talking about?
Well, just if you wouldn't mind, Mr. Henry, I just want to ask Ms. Gray one thing. We're still working on it, and we're still working on it, and we're still doing it. And so, do you still think that I would qualify on a dumbass? Or what?
Yes, I do. And what he's working on, Phil, I got a call from his father. There were damages, and they were in four figures, to a car shed at Bradley Military Academy. Apparently, this pizza delivery idea, in terms of using remote-controlled aircraft, is all over the world in various stages. These fools at Bradley Military Academy set fire to a shed where there were three automobiles used by the commandant at Bradley, Commandant Wireman, one of them a Humvee, the other's a Mercedes sedan.
Ms. Gray?
Hold on, please. The shed burned to the ground, two of the three cars completely destroyed, one of the cars, which was a Thunderbird, 1957 or 58 Thunderbird.
Oh, boy.
That was partially destroyed. And the people that were responding to the fire got the shock of their lives. And I understand one of the people had to be hospitalized with cardiac arrhythmia, R.C.
Ma'am, you have to tell the whole story on that.
I'm going to. They had been using a crash test figure, one of these crash test dummies, and I don't know if you've seen them lately, but they are very realistic. And they'd been using one for their a driver's ed. When they put the fire out, they found this figure burnt beyond recognition. And my God, I asked Commandant Wireman, and he said that he prayed to God.
But it was a dummy.
Yeah, ma'am. It was a rubber dummy.
It doesn't matter. Do you understand this? He prayed to God. He prayed to the Virgin Mary. He prayed to our Virgin Mary. And Harvey, and you know that Commandant Wireman's Jewish.
Yes, I do.
Well, do you realize how far you have to sink if you're Jewish to...
Ma'am, I don't think that's... What are you talking about?
Yeah, what are you talking about?
He's a Jewish man. I don't know if he's observant, but he starts praying to the Virgin Mary. He has sunk to the pits of hell.
Well, let's not start talking that way, okay, about people's religion, if you don't mind.
I'm not talking about Judaism. I'm talking about Catholicism.
Well, isn't that just fine? I don't like that at all. Now, R.C., I've heard a whole lot here, and I don't understand a word of it. And I don't understand, how did you burn this down?
I just explained it to you, Phil.
No, you didn't explain nothing, Ms. Gray. We're trying to figure it out.
Exactly.
Well, we were trying out an experimentation on the RX-161, and this is the remote control helicopter that we're going to use for the pizza delivery that had been contracted by Domino Pizza in England. But we feel, as an adjunct to the United States military, the Military Academy at Bradley, we ought to be able to do it lickety-split, you know, no problem at all. And so we were putting the final touches on it, and we do feel we have a prototype that can deliver up to 15 kilometers away, Mr. Henry. Now hear me and hear me good here. We can deliver...
And this is bullcrap, by the way.
Wait a minute, Margaret.
Is it bullcrap? Have you tried to do it?
All I know is you killed a man...
We didn't kill. It was a dummy.
It was a dummy, Margaret.
Yes, I know it was a dummy, but the reaction was this. It was as if you'd burned a man alive.
Ma'am, it was a dummy. It was a rubber dummy.
You burned...
Oh, will you relax, Margaret?
You know what? Go straight to the horned one. Go to the horned one and do his bidding sexually.
Where are you going?
Where do you think?
No more toilet paper.
I don't care. I've got the show notes.
Let the show notes go.
So anyway, Mr. Henry...
That is just unbelievable.
Don't talk behind my back.
Anyway, sir...
Yeah, go ahead.
So we had prototype RX-451. It took off this morning at 0715 hours. Okay, Mr. Henry, that's 7:15.
Yeah, that's great, man.
Yeah. It took off at 0715 hours, and it flew in a southerly trajectory. Now, at that time, we had a pizza. It was one of the large, because we'd gotten it off the menu of the Domino's. It was large. It was an extra crispy crust with a thick level of cheese, peppers, onions, bologna.
Bologna.
Or not bologna. I mean, peppers, cheese, thick gorgonzola slices. I think that there was salami and...
Don't have no salami either, man. You talking about pepperoni?
That's it, yeah, pepperoni and then lettuce and...
What do you mean lettuce, man?
What kind of a pizza is this?
Right off the menu at Domino's. What are you talking about, homeboy? And
don't call me homeboy.
Well, it was.
You all know what you got, man. You got a big, you got an extra large pizza with pepper. You got onion. You got pepperoni. And what else?
And lettuce and.
You don't get lettuce.
Well, okay, alfalfa.
They don't have alfalfa sprouts. You probably got. Did you get mushrooms?
Yeah, that's it. Mushrooms.
Man.
And we put that into what we call jaws, which are the retractable clutches of the chopper. It took off at 0715 hours. And, well, no, by this time it was now 0730 hours because we had to load the pizza up. And then it took off and it flew in a southerly trajectory to Rich Mitchell's house, Cadet Mitchell, because his mom was home and she was going to be waiting for it, right? Well, just as we were getting over the field house near where the car barn is, we lost power and it plummeted. We have the recording here from this afternoon, if I could.
What was that?
That was Commandant Wireman.
Commandant Wireman was where?
He was out near the barn, and the microphone on the camera picked it up. So, back to the drawing board, you know.
So you almost killed, and why did the barn catch on fire?
We did have fuel on board.
But it's a battery-operated aircraft, right?
Yes, sir, it is, but we wanted to have actual fuel drums, just to make it look cool.
Well, why did you have to put fuel in it?
Because we're not retarded? What are you talking about?
Don't have to put fuel in it, man, if you talk on electricity and battery and everything.
Yeah, well, we put fuel in it, okay? Because we're not, like, being babies about it. We wanted to be realistic and everything.
Well, it was realistic, all right. You destroyed two cars. And what about Commandant Wireman?
Well, he saw it coming down, and he dove into a ditch just as it exploded.
That's unbelievable. All right, so everybody's fine. You burned a thing down.
Yes, and this is why, Phil, I'm back now.
Yeah, so I can see.
Uh-huh. This is why I put R.C. Collins number 4 on your Mount Rushmore of dumb... Oh, dumb.
That ain't that dumb. Someday we're going to do it good.
Yes, it's that dumb.
All right, R.C., thank you. I'm glad that nobody was hurt. I don't care if the two cars burned up.
What about the...
You keep saying, what about the man that burned alive?
That was a dummy, Margaret. A dummy. A dummy. A crash test dummy. A dummy.
I understand that, but it looked like someone I know. All right? It looked like my brother Charlie. Okay? That's why I...
Okay, it looked like your brother Charlie. It wasn't Charlie.
Is Charlie made out of rubber? No. Is Charlie, you know...
Is he made out of rubber? No, but...
But what?
On a good day, Charlie, I love to bits, but on a good day, maybe he doesn't look like he's made out of rubber.
What the hell is with your brother, Charlie?
Wouldn't you like to know?
Well, Mr. Andrea.
Okay, thank you very much.
Well, what are you yelling at me?
And all of that to prove that that kid belongs on the Mount Rushmore of dumb? Margaret, I gotta tell you, I don't know where you get off complaining about that kid when you're weeping over a burned-up rubber dummy because it looks like your brother.
Are you done?
Yes, I'm done.
Psychologists tell us that when a dummy or a mannequin or what you want to call it, we imprint... Never mind.
You always say never mind and you never say it.
Because you idiots wouldn't understand in a month of Sundays...
What does that mean?
See?
No, we don't see. Why don't you explain it? Go ahead. What's the matter? Don't you have an explanation? Are you calling us dumb and that's your out? That's your way of getting out of explaining it?
All right, I'll explain it. Psychologists tell us that if there's a dummy
If I store dummies, go ahead.
How dare you laugh at... You know something, forget it. I mean it. Forget it.
In other words, Margaret, you don't have any real... You just had a weird moment where you cried over a burned-up dummy because it looked like your brother.
You see, you're trying to make me out to be Baby Jane. I know you are, Phil. I know you are.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are. You'd like to see me put away. You want to sign the papers on me?
Margaret, you're going crazy. Nobody ever said anything about that or anything.
Then why are your eyeballs shifting around?
Because I don't want to look at you. Every time you see I look at you, when I say something, you think it's all about it, having sex with it.
Sex with it?
Yeah, he's making a very good point. He's probably casting his eyes on the ground because that's the only place he feels he can safely look without you taking, you know, offense. No, I don't think you're Baby Jane.
What about that batty broad in... What about Hush, Hush, Sweet Charlotte?
What about what?
Hush, Hush, Sweet Charlotte. What about it?
You talking about a crazy lady?
Yes, the crazy lady.
I never saw the movie.
What about, oh, Beautiful Mind? You think I'm like him? You think I'm looking up in the sky and I'm seeing all kinds of patterns and I'm making a weird-looking sweater out of the yarn that I'm pulling from one star to the next? Is that what you think, Mr. Henry?
No, but I think you need a vacation.
So you do think I'm battier than three coats of paint?
Yeah, after that conversation there, I'm beginning to have my suspicions. That's all right, you can tell me to go to hell.
Go to the devil.
Where's that?
All right, bud, I'll take it from here. Thank you very much, folks, for listening in on that little piece of whatever.
I thought it was instructive.
Yeah. Thank you very...
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Boy, do you need help.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth you need help. Is our
bitch. I don't
bitch.
Need any help.
The Phil Henry Show. Bill Henry Show.
Harvey Wireman is joining us here from Bradley Military Academy. Commandant Wireman has called R.C. Collins on the carpet after what happened today. Commandant, are you there?
Yes, Phil, I'm right here. The young man in question is Cadet Collins. Stand at attention, Cadet. You heard the recording, as embarrassing as it was. That chopper, which is the R-41, the remote chopper that we use in the training of our cadet rangers, we don't do actual ranger training at this level, but we do show them what the chopper looks like when the rope goes out of it, and we will hover it over a mound of dirt.
And what does that do?
Well, to show them what it looks like, the helicopter with the rope hanging out of it, and the dirt. And then we'll have plastic. We use the replications, which are generally just the small plastic soldiers that you can't have them crawl down a rope because a plastic soldier is not able, it doesn't, you know.
It doesn't move.
Yes, sir, that's correct. So we'll just have them sitting there on the ground and we'll go, see, that's what you look like. I'm sorry, hold on for a minute. What are you doing?
Well, I was just standing here.
I want you to get prepared to kiss the gunner's daughter.
No, sir, not that.
Yes, sir, that. See that cannon? See the cannon?
You mean the cannon?
Yes. Bend over that and get those pants down. Yeah, there you go. Just the way I like it. All right.
What does that mean?
Sounds very perverted.
It's not perverted. Take it easy. Well, you kiss the gunner's daughter, you lean over the replica cannon that we have here. It's a replica taken off of a replica of the USS Constitution, which was one of the big-time badass, you know, it fought against everybody, the world, the revolution, the world war, whatever war there was, and that's a cannon. It's just like the cannon that's on it.
And it came off a ship that was just like the Constitution.
Yeah, and it fought in a war that was just like the wars that only was a simulated.
Okay, so where are we going with this? What are we...
Well, we'll get a load of you. How do you like that, Margaret, huh?
Yeah, Phil, take it easy, okay?
Where are we going with this? I'm the commandant here at Bradley Military Academy, sir, and I'm going to give discipline to this young cadet who almost set me on fire today. Is that all right with you?
Yes, of course, sir, because what he did was a very dangerous thing, but I just wondered, you were telling me about something else.
You asked me about the chopper that was used.
So this is used in cadet training?
Yes, sir. It's used in cadet training. The chopper hovers over the dirt, and then we set up plastic soldiers to show the students this is what you should look like once you've come out of the chopper. Because we don't have plastic soldiers that hang from the rope, and we don't have any that look good inside the chopper. The only ones we have are the ones that are standing up down in the dirt. You understand?
Phil, even I get that.
Yes, I understand. I'm trying to figure out what the training value is of this, but I'm not the soldier.
Yeah, there you go. You set a mouthful right there. You're not the professional soldier. I am. All right, Cadet Collins?
Yes, sir.
You are about to receive punishment because of the infraction of the Cadet Code 1-7, and that is in Article 4 of your Cadet Code, which says, never expose your fellows, members of the civilian corps, or other members of the unit to undue danger through your ridiculous and silly things that you do. I'm sure it says something different, but I don't have the code in front of me. So, all right, you've already bent over the cannon and your pants are down. Okay. Here we go. One and two and... I didn't even hit you. Ha, ha, ha.
He always does this, Mr. Henry. It's torture.
That's kind of a psychological torture, yeah.
Oh, give me a break. This is... Let me tell you something about kissing a gunner's daughter. This is something that has been done in the United States Navy since the beginning. This is a very, very accepted form of discipline.
In the Navy?
Yes, sir.
You guys are an Army-style military academy.
Say that again?
You guys are in the Army, aren't you?
We lost the connection.
Yeah, get him back here. I'm sorry, Phil. Yeah. Yeah, it's back.
What did you say?
We lost the connection.
Yeah, you lost the connection. I think the phone was shocked. I was shocked. The telephone system fainted for a moment.
You are an Army military academy. You're using a Navy form of discipline, him kissing the gunner's daughter.
Son of a bitch, how about that?
Yeah, I've been trying to tell you that down for a long time.
Well, that's a horse of a different color. What am I going to do with the tape recording of me almost burning alive? Listen to this. This is good stuff. Yeah, did you hear that?
That's a lot more on the tape than I heard originally.
Well, we had it cleaned up. All right, Cadet Collins, get up off that cannon.
Yes, sir.
Since that's a Navy discipline, we'll have to find something they do in the Army. I know. We'll line you up at noon and shoot you.
They do that in the morning.
All right, then I'll wait.
You're not going to shoot the kid.
No, I guess not. Well, there's only one thing left to do.
What's that?
Well, it involves you keeping your pants off, and I'm going to have to call off my appointments for this evening. And,
No, no. No, no.
Yeah, no, no. What do you think of this? You see what I went through here?
No, no.
Uh-oh. Sounds to me like he's going to take advantage of the R.C. Collins.
Did you hear what that man said to him?
Yeah, I did, but I,
Well, do something. Anything.
I mean,
You have to call him up. I'll call him up.
Call him back and tell him that I want to talk to him. Not on the air, though. Not on the air.
Yeah, Mr. Wireman? I mean, Colonel Wireman? Or Captain Wireman? Well, are you Wireman? You're not going to talk to me until I get your rank right? Is it Admiral Wireman?
Give me the phone. Harvey, it's Phil Hendry. General Wireman. Commandant. Okay, now I'm out of time. What are you doing to RC? He's serving you dinner in a loincloth, wearing boot black on his face, and you're pretending like you're the king of Tahiti.
Give me that folk. Commandant Wireman, this is Margaret Gray. What are you doing to that boy? He's walking around dressed as a girl.
Famous Phil Hendry Show. We got Father James McCord is going to join us for a very brief moment here at the beginning of the hour because we have a story here on an Alabama senator by the name of Shadrach McGill. Boy, that is a hell of a name. That's a great name, you know.
Shadrach McGill. That's very biblical.
Very biblical. Shadrach. And I know there's cats named Shad. Is that what that is?
Yeah, I knew a guy named, what do you mean, Chad?
Not Chad. Shad. Shad.
No, all I know is a fish.
The fish?
Yes, there is a fish called the shag or the shad, I don't know. I think there's a fish.
Well, anyway, I like the name Shadrach. All right, so good old Father McCorders will be here in a moment. We want to remind you that we're online at philhendryshow.com. With a backstage pass, you can watch our live streaming video each and every night. We also have a movie of the week that we do and a bunch of other stuff, video events that we're planning. And sometimes we actually roll our pre-show audio for free over at philhendryradio.com. But having said all of that, it's best to get a backstage pass so you catch our pre-show as well as all the behind-the-scenes between the commercials and the commercial breaks and everything to check out just how weird this can get, because it's, yeah, it can get weird. Things have calmed down around here, though, you know.
Well, I was going to say, I remember when you used to lose your temper and threaten to commit homicide.
You did, Mr. Henry, you did.
You threatened to commit homicide, or as they say in Clockers, homicide.
Yeah, you know, it was pretty bad.
I never said that I was really going to kill a guy.
I don't care what you meant, but you would sit there, and it would look as if the devil himself had taken possession of your very soul. The sweat would bead up on your forehead, your eyes would blaze red. Bright eyes, like his, only smaller.
You get out of here with the Dracula monologue.
I'm telling you. And then you would say, excuse me.
Just your bridge?
It's my upper bridge, yes. Hold on for just a minute.
You want me to go get the glue out of the car?
Bud, don't say there's glue.
What happened?
Well, what do you think happened? The upper bridge?
I didn't know you had a bridge there, Margaret.
Thank you. Well, that was the great work of Dr. Cupertino, but God, Bud.
Yeah?
There's a simple solution on the front seat of my Suburban. If you could go and get the solution to the front.
If I think I understand, it's a solution on the front seat of her Suburban.
On the front seat of Suburban?
Yes, on the front seat of the Suburban.
Okay, he's going to go get it, Margaret.
Jesus.
Backstage pass here at philhenryshow.com. All right, Father James McCorders, while Margaret gets her teeth glued back in.
I'm not getting my teeth glued.
Listen, Margaret, this is Father McCorders. Don't let it, just let it slide.
Father McCorders, I'm just...
Just let it slide, Margaret. Let it slide, all right? When we get the glue or whatever it is out of the car, we'll be able to put the teeth in.
All right, Father James McCorders joining us here.
All I'm saying, Father...
Let it slide, all right? That's what I say to you, and I say that to all young black men with sneakers. If someone scuffs your Jordans, as Chris Rock said so eloquently, let it slide, right?
Let it slide.
Let it slide. That's my marching orders here.
All right, Father McCorders, the story here from...
Thank you very much, Bud.
She put her teeth in the... Margaret, why don't you have the good courtesy and the good decency to go out to the outer area and have your teeth put in there quietly?
Yes, Father.
Because I can't hear myself think when she's sitting there, and I can hear all of the... It's
maddening. How you been, Father?
I've been doing fine. I've been doing pretty good. We did a fundraiser. You know, we had a fiesta last weekend.
You had the fiesta, yeah? How'd it go?
But very good. Raised a lot of money. Putting in the youth wing now. We were able to replace the youth hut. And we're working, as you know, with the migrants in the area. Trying to get the children vaccinated and so forth. Just basically keeping myself busy. I get out of the rectory during the day and go around and bless people. And that way, His Holiness, you know, the Archbishop there in Los Angeles, doesn't think that we're over here, excuse me for saying, but I say this with a great deal of love of God in my fellow man in my heart, that His Holiness, the Archbishop, doesn't think the Cardinal, I should say, here in the Los Angeles Diocese, because a Cardinal. You're aware of that, Phil, right?
Yes, of course. We have Cardinal Mahoney.
Cardinal, yes. And so the Cardinal doesn't say to me, is he dead? He may be dead. You spend so little time paying attention to what's happening, Phil, that I don't know whether the Cardinal is dead or not.
No. Just go ahead, okay?
Right. So, in any event, he said to me, she stopped by, he said, Jim, how you doing? I said, I'm great, you know, I'm better than a lot of people and not as good as some. He said, well, I can see that, you know, and we had a cigar. And he said to me, so what's up? I says, how's tricks?
Okay, and so what did you guys talk about?
I'm sorry. So anyway, I did the fundraiser. He'll come by and he'll say, you're getting out of the rectory, you're out of the fundraiser. I said, yes, I am. I'm working with the migrants. I'm working with the underprivileged. He'll say, fine. And he gets lost. You know, that's what all we have to say to him to keep him from sticking his nose all the way up my you-know-what. You know, we've got a good thing here. And the last thing I need, Phil, is for the Cardinal to be coming around 3-4 times a week knocking on the door, saying, well, let's see the books and how much you're raising. Because I'll tell you right now, I'm about this close to telling him to take his curiosity, if you will, and his cardinal's nose and stick it back up Benedict's rear end where it had been for a lot of years, more years than anybody'd like to see. And he can take it out of Benedict's rear end, then he can shove it right back up what's-his-face, you know, the John Paul, because, boy, he had it buried there.
Why are you angry at him?
Well, you know, it's the kind of a deal. Rank has its privileges, as you know, Phil. And when you're the cardinal of the Los Angeles Archdiocese, or the cardinal of any diocese, you can get away with an awful lot. If you're lowly just priest like myself, a monsignor of a very lowly parish, out here in Glendale, California, that's catering mostly to the migrants, and a few of the other people as well, but mostly the migrants, life can be a very difficult thing. So as long as I can keep him off my back, then I'm a very happy man.
Okay. So business is good?
Yes, business, I'd say, is very good.
All right. The story here...
Okay, I'm back. My teeth are in, but I don't know how... Jesus. I don't think I'll go back.
Well, that sounds worse now, Margaret.
It does, Margaret. What happened?
I don't know. That's...
You know, I don't want to say this too loud, but this is almost a blessing. It's almost a blessing. I said a rosary before I come on your show tonight, Phil, as I usually do. I don't not usually for your show, but I usually do a rosary this time of night, and just so I happen to come on your show.
I understand.
And the rosary was saying to myself, I hope that Margaret would find the good grace within her, and that the Holy Spirit would move her so that she would keep her mouth shut. Just keep her mouth shut. Long enough for me to get a word in. And you know something? The Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, answered my prayer.
Knocked her teeth right out of her mouth.
He knocked her teeth out of her mouth. Oh, I love you so much, Phil. I love you so much. I love you so much. Okay. So what is it that you wanted to talk to me about?
Okay, yeah, this is Heather McGill.
Heather McGill. I remember her now. The Maggie McGill and Heather McGill, and up the gill they went. On a fine day, they came to my tent. I sat there and said, hey, Maggie and your sister, how about the two of you do it till you blister? Then the man...
What did you do? You just hung up on a priest of God.
I don't give a crap. What? Hung up on a priest of God? What's up with that guy?
What did you do? Did you hang up on him?
Well, you get out of here with the teeth, Margaret, and get them fixed.
Yeah, I hung up on a priest of God.
So? So I hung up on a priest of God. What is he? You think it's a mortal sin? Did you hear what he just sang?
Well, he's talking about having at it.
He's a priest. They're not supposed to have at it.
Oh, I forgot about that.
What about the priest that can?
You're thinking of Episcopalians. Get him back on the phone, will you?
Got him a quarter.
You hung up on me, Phil. I was singing an old Irish... It was an old Irish limerick song. It's not a serious thing. And I don't want the people to think that Father McCourters is out there doing things that he shouldn't be doing. It's just simply a folk song, you know.
I understand, Father, but it was... You know, I mean, it was pretty harsh.
What was harsh about singing to Maggie McGill and blah, 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 blah? What was harsh about it?
Something about doing it till you blister.
I apologize. I apologize to everyone out there. You know something? I'm feeling pretty good tonight because I am going to be returning... to Ireland very briefly to visit my sister. She's been very sick. She's fine now.
Oh, that's good news.
Right, and we get to go back, so I'm looking forward to that. And but Heather McGill and Maggie McGill, remind me of the song. Heather McGill and Maggie McGill. You never heard the song?
No, I never heard it.
No, it's a song about two sisters. And, well, you know, they were very popular, and I'm not going to get into any of that. But Heather McGill and Maggie McGill, and you never heard the song?
No, I haven't.
The song of Heather McGill and Maggie McGill, and they live down the lane. And Joe and Lou and Betty, too, together they all, well...
Yeah, okay, that's what I'm talking about.
That's how good they were. In any event, so this Alabama politician, his wife, she took to Facebook to warn women to stay away from her husband. She said a righteous anger pushed her to write a post that has now gone viral. She said, I know that I can't bring about change in other people's lifestyles, but I can protect my household, my husband, and my children. This is Heather McGill and Maggie McGill, you know, the wife of Shadrach McGill, she told ABC News.
Okay. Now, what was going on?
Well, hold on. Heather McGill logged onto her husband's Facebook page on Monday night to write a post targeted to women she claims are soliciting her husband. A Republican has served in the Senate since 2010. They're soliciting for sex. Multiple times since being in office, he's gotten emails from women who may not even be real, inviting him to explore the sexualities of so on and so forth, also sending pictures of themselves. We have children that look at our Facebooks from time to time. Shame on you. Senator McGill told ABC News that during his 2010 campaign, strippers arrived at his family's home in the middle of the night, and that since being elected, he's received numerous photos on Facebook of scantily clad women. Heather McGill said it was the latest photo, one that was posted last Sunday, that drove her to write the post, in which she warned the women, "Next time everyone will know who you are, for I will publicly share your name before we unfriend you." She said she looked at her husband's face. So it's a lot of stuff like this, and it's nothing that I haven't gotten, that you haven't gotten. And
What do you mean you haven't gotten?
I've gotten some of this from time to time from the parish. Oh, yeah, we've got women in the parish. And you? What about you, Phil? My God, the pictures of the nudity that is splayed.
Hold on for a minute.
Oh, you're going to have to talk about some of the nudes? Oh.
Get the teeth fixed. We'll be right back with Father James McCorders. Heather McGill, the wife of Senator Shadrach McGill, is pissed off because her husband is being solicited for sexual favors. And is she being duped? Is her husband out there, you know, is he out there trolling? Is he out, hey, baby? And he's telling her, hey, baby, it's not me. They're doing, yeah, see?
Way to go. Get him in trouble.
Not getting him in trouble. I just want to know what's up. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth. He's our bitch.
Oh,
the Phil Henry Show. The world famous Phil Henry Show.
On the line with me is Father James McCorders here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show as we discuss this story from Alabama. Senator Shadrach McGill, his wife Heather, took to the senator's Facebook account today to say, basically, Father McCorders chastised women that had been sending unsolicited sexual pictures, I guess, and so forth.
Well, I think you have to look at this because I'm very familiar with Facebook, Phil. I'm very familiar with the social media. It's part of my vocation and calling here as a Catholic priest, especially in these modern times, and dealing with a parish. And remember that Billmore Academy is a parish that serves not only the very wealthy in the foothill areas here of Glendale and Burbank, but we also have a very fairly decent size of migratory workers and so on and so forth, farm workers and so on and so forth. Now, having said that, I'm very conversant in the social media. And I can tell you from first-hand experience that even though I'm a priest and though I am called to a life of vocation of celibacy, is it time to time I do receive in my messaging there at Facebook on my page, from time to time I do receive from a female a picture that shows her in the altogether and unclothed, the state of God's good nudity, but certainly nothing that you should send to a strange man, even though I am a priest. I would not recommend young women, or any woman at all, to send me a photograph of herself in the good, sweet nature, the good, sweet nature of the nude, stripped out. You know, it
makes you a little nervous, doesn't it?
It does make me a bit nervous, yes. And certainly, Phil, I know that you had your fair share as well.
Well, you know something, Father, I don't want to talk about that, if you don't mind. And I know I haven't received my. What do you mean, my fair share?
Well, every man in this world, I think, is entitled to his fair share of a woman mailing him pictures of herself with no clothes on. I think there's an expectation that a man, if you divvy it up over a lifetime, did you get your share?
And what do you mean, get my share?
I'm talking about men getting nude pictures in the mail!
Yeah, you understand what the father's saying?
No.
I don't think he does. I think you need to take your boss out and show him the world a little bit.
Wait a second! First of all, you don't yell at me. And secondly, what do you mean by, when you say fair share, you seem to think that every guy on this planet is entitled to a certain number of nude pictures from strange women in his lifetime.
Bingo! Yeah. You know something, Phil? I swear, you ought to get on that college ball or whatever that, what's the game, the Jeopardy? I'll take midgets for 50. What's the one, what's it called?
Yeah, it's called Jeopardy, Father.
That's the one you ought to be on the show, because you're fast. You're quick. Woo! You, whoa, baby.
You know, Father, your sarcasm is very unbecoming, and I'll tell you something else. As a Catholic priest, you're treating this in a very cavalier manner. I think this is a serious issue for a married man. His wife is concerned. There are children in that house. You think you want to see children in a home walk in and look at their dad's Facebook page and see that?
Oh, come on now. I'm not talking about showing the children these things. I'm trying to tell you that in every man's life, and I think there are a fair share of women, too. In every woman's life, there's a fair amount of male, inanimate or otherwise, you're going to get that shows you, oh, yeah, shows you the world, all 69 states. And
okay, I've had it with him. I think he's drunk.
My God, you hung up on a priest of God.
If I hear that phrase one more time, I'm going to come unglued.
Well, all right, Phil.
Hey, what's wrong?
What's wrong? If you guys said to me you hung up on a priest of God once, you said it 58 times. I hung up on a priest of God. Am I going to go to hell for it? Maybe. I'm the Catholic. I ought to know. You guys don't know.
Well, I am Episcopal. Well, I was Episcopalian.
That's almost Catholic.
Is it really almost Catholic? Well, great, Margaret. Then you should understand, A, I could give a crap. B, I ain't going to go to hell because I hung up on a priest of God. That guy's been pushing the envelope on this show tonight. He sounds like he's drunk.
Well, I'll give you that.
Well, thank you. Thanks for weighing in, too.
Phil, there are times when a man's just got to do what a man's got to do. And you had to man up there, dog. And I thought you did a very, very good job.
Yeah, you had them pretty good, Phil.
What did I do? I didn't do anything. All I was telling the guy was, you know, I don't know what I said. This guy is getting into all kinds of dirty stories, and that whole thing about Maggie McGill and Heather McGill, and, you know, they did it till they blistered. I didn't like that either. But to finish up the story, Senator McGill told ABC News during his 2010 campaign, strippers arrived at his family's home in the middle of the night, and that since being elected, he's received numerous photos on Facebook of scantily clad women. Now, let me ask you a question, seriously. Okay, if you are in the public eye, and you're a guy like this senator, good-looking guy, you know, what's the likelihood that women are going to see you and go, oh, God, he's really handsome and he's powerful. I think I'll send him a picture of myself nude. I'm not saying that they don't do it, but in the amounts that the wife here is claiming, and what is the likelihood that it could be a political rival trying to make you look bad? You know what I mean? Trying to do an Anthony Weiner on you.
Oh, that is very... Now, I didn't think of that.
Yeah, that's a pretty good point, Mr. Henry.
That's my point. Now, the wife seems to indicate that during this screed that she published...
What's that?
A screed, a letter, a broadside, something like that.
The broadside.
It's a statement, okay?
Well, don't lose it, Phil.
How are these questions? So she says, if you're a woman at all... So she seemed to leave open the possibility that you may not actually be a woman. You may be perhaps a political rival, an enemy of some sort. I wouldn't put it past him. And I bet you that that's exactly what's going on here, man. Not in all cases. Okay? Now, my next question is the following one. Women are not going to post that on your page unless they're stupid, because Facebook's going to take it down. Yeah, there's prostitutes. There's all kinds of chicks that are working Facebook just like they do Twitter, but most of the time, they've got their little, you know, their photographic albums, and you go and you look, okay?
You do that?
Why, sure, just the other... No, I have not done that. the music. I guess we have to break.
Yeah, lucky for you, Phil, because I was just about to...
Never mind. I think that there's a little bit of maybe truth to what's going on here in terms of women, you know, sending the guy pictures, but I think there's a political rival that's... You know, trying to make the guy look bad, trying to get the guy to take the bait.
The bait of a nude woman.
Yay.
Thank you. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show. Whew.
Phil Henry.
I'm not going to get into the specifics of it, but I was just talking to Dan about a friend that I had, and I say had because she and her husband are not friends of mine anymore. And one of the reasons, and I just feel bad about it because I really like these guys. She had given me a picture. We were going to write some stuff, and we were going to write some things based upon, she'd had a very, very interesting, a very, very tough, she'd had a life that was worthy of being chronicled and possibly presented as a film or a book or something. And I got to know her and her husband, and she gave me one day a picture of herself that was in a frame, and she said, "Would you take this, Phil? This will tell you a lot about me." This photograph was a picture of herself as a little girl in Florida. I don't want to give you any more of the specifics. And I took the picture, and I'm going to tell you that I deserve, you know, having been, basically I was ostracized by both of these guys. I won't tell you anything about them. You know, they just stopped talking to me, and they basically thought of me as a real scumbag.
Why? Did you just lose a picture?
Hold on for a minute, Margaret. It wasn't just a picture. It was a really important picture that she gave to me to give me a really good sense of herself and her family and what she was from. It was something to help inspire the work that we would do in creating a vehicle about her life, because it was an amazing life. And my only, you know, when they say when you apologize, you should never make an excuse, just say you're sorry. And I believe that that's what you should do. I don't believe that apologies ever, ever, ever should have any explanation, because now you're trying to, you know, you're trying to weasel your way out of it.
Yeah. Yeah, just say you're sorry.
Right. And I do. I say I am sorry to both of them. The reason why I want to give some background is because sometimes if people are like me, I want to know why something happened, you know. I want to know, okay, I know you're sorry. Why did you do that? You know, I would like to have a little explanation. And my only, I lost this picture, folks. It was a picture in a frame. It was a black and white picture. It was one from her childhood. It was absolutely important to her. It may be, and this is the real killer for me, it may be the only picture she had of herself as a kid. Anyway, I lost it.
You lost it mentally, or what did you...
I lost the picture.
Oh. We thought you started throwing chairs and stuff in a restaurant.
Yeah.
Huh?
You said that you were sorry, and we thought you picked up a chair in a restaurant and just threw it at her. We don't...
Where did you get that out of that?
Well, you said you lost it.
I lost the picture. I was just talking about a picture. Was I not just talking about a picture?
Yes, you were talking about a picture.
And then I said I lost it, meaning the picture.
Oh, we thought the lady and her husband was having dinner, and you picked up a chair.
And you broke it over her head.
What? There was nothing I said.
Oh, Phil, quit making a federal case out of it. Go on.
Yeah, just move on. Move past it.
Hey, bud, I'll take it from Margaret, not you, okay?
Sorry.
Yeah, that's right, Margaret. I'm sitting there having dinner with these two people, and I can't take it anymore, and I...
Well, if you're going to laugh about breaking a chair over a woman's head, you know something, Phil? You need counseling, because it's an anger issue.
I didn't do that, what you're saying. I didn't break a chair over a woman's head. I'm laughing over the idea of it, but I never did it. See, you already have made it into something that's real. It never happened.
Well,
I don't care if I said I lost it. I lost the photograph. Now, let me continue. I lost this picture. And I lost it by way of explanation, not by way of getting myself off the hook, but in case one were to say, "All right, Phil, I accept your apologies, but you know something? I do want to know how it is you screwed that up." Because I would simply say this. My marriage had come to an end. It was a horrible time in my life. My contract was up at Clear Channel. I had no idea what the hell I was, A, going to do, B, how I was going to pay for it, you know, C, my marriage is coming apart, and I still have these bills to pay. And, I mean, dude, you have, and I had to keep the ball going forward. You know, I was thinking obviously, I was thinking work, work, work. Okay, what? And anything that came along, I was thinking, well, I'll take it and I'll work on it. And one of the things was the idea of this project based on her story. She gave me this picture. Her and her husband came to Los Angeles. We sat down. We had a meeting. We had dinner. And I lost it. I lost the picture. And I felt crap can. And I'll tell you something. Sometimes in life you mess up. You can't undo it, man. You cannot undo it. People will not look at you the same way. They won't trust you. They, especially if they barely know you in the first place. So I recognize that's an opportunity for friendship that I completely butchered, you know?
Yeah, well, you lost the picture and everything. And I know you didn't break no chair on nobody's head, okay? I'm not saying that you done that.
Thank you.
But if you lost that picture and then you had... No, you didn't, but if you had...
Well, it doesn't make any difference, man, if you didn't do it.
Yeah, but think, if he lost the picture, then he goes, you know what, I lost the picture. Ah, to hell with it. And picked up a chair and broke it over her head.
Well, why would he do that, Bud?
Because he said, ah, to hell with it.
You know, Bud, that's what I call doing twists and flips just to try to make something come out the way you want it to come out. That none of that happened, okay?
That's what you call what?
Never mind. I'm not going to go, I lost your picture. I'm so sorry that it doesn't matter now. Allow me to just pick this chair up and smash it over your head.
See, the way you're laughing at that, that makes me think maybe that's a possibility.
That's what we're worried about.
Because I'm laughing at it, you think it's a possibility?
Yeah.
Well, see, that shows me how little you idiots know about human beings. That's how little you know of the human condition. That because that laughter is sometimes called hysterical laughter. It's the kind of laughter that we revert to when we've got no other way of expressing something, where the jumble of emotions is so much that we just go, you know?
That kind of laugh like in a movie when a guy goes, hey, baby, and he smacks her in the face?
Exactly. Like that movie we saw the other night.
We thought about that movie that guy slapped that girl.
Yeah. You remember it?
Which movie's that?
We're watching the movie. I think it was Fred McMurray in that. And anyway, he says to her, she starts laughing uncontrollably, and he smacked her.
Oh, yes, I've seen that, yeah.
Yeah, that's what you can do?
No, you can't do that. No, I would not recommend that. That's what they used to do in the old movies. The chick is laughing, he'd smack her.
Sounds pretty good, though.
Oh, does it sound pretty good? Well, you know.
See, this is what I'm talking about. You encourage these animals with stories like that.
It wasn't a story, it was a movie they were watching. But in any event, make a long story short, wrap this up, please, dear God, Phil. I lost that picture, and I've never not thought about it.
Every day?
Not every day.
Every other day?
No, not every other day.
Weekly?
Not weekly.
Well, how do you think about it?
I think about it from time to time, okay? And I feel bad about it, And I also try to think, what can I do to somehow make it up to those guys? And I there are days I keep looking. It's like that thing you'll never stop looking for. I've got boxes, I've got crates, I got stuff everywhere, man. And I think one of these days, maybe I'll come across this picture. Maybe I didn't lose it. I can't imagine that I lost it. I can't imagine it. But there's a part of me that thinks that I was so goofy, I was so out of my mind with so much, that I might have dropped it in a garbage can or something.
That's totally destructive to do that.
Yeah, that's very hostile.
It wasn't hostile. It was not hostile. It was like something didn't register between her giving me that picture and me taking it. Something didn't register in me that this was an important thing that she was doing. Or if it did... It registered only as three-quarters as important as she meant it to be, you know?
Well, you were lost, Phil, if I may say. You were lost in that narcissism, okay?
What's that?
Narcissism, Bud, is the state of mind that some people are in where it's all about them. All about them, and everyone else doesn't matter. And you were lost in your little state of narcissism, and it was all about Phil Hendry and the wonderfulness of what you are, and oh my goodness, what am I going to do? And someone's beautiful photograph of themselves as a child didn't mean hot you-know-whats out of the you-know-what of a dog.
And you're saying that to me, looking at me with hostility.
No, Phil, this is not hostility. This is disappointment.
And the you-know-whats out of a dog's you-know-what, I mean, that's pretty harsh language.
Excuse me?
You didn't say any harsh language.
I said you-know-what. What is that?
Well, I mean, the image is...
Well, that's, Phil, what you did. You said to this young lady, thank you very much for the picture that means so much to you, a picture that can never be replaced, a picture of you as a child, a picture that you put in a frame, a little black and white photograph that you put in a frame. Thank you. I need something to wipe with. Thank you.
Really good one, Greg.
Okay, well, isn't that just a wonderful speech? Isn't that a great put-down of Phil?
Yes, and you needed it.
All right. I don't deny anything you're saying. I will have to say you're a little bit overboard with the thank you very much. I need something to wipe with.
Why are you laughing, then?
Because it's pretty funny. It's ridiculous. I never would have thought that, and I didn't think it when she gave it to me. I was preoccupied. I didn't think anything of the photograph at all other than thank you. I will look at it, but, you know... I don't know. We'll take a break, folks.
Need to go to the bathroom?
No, I do not.
That might be a time to look for that picture if you need something to wipe with it.
Get out of here. We'll be right back. World famous. What happened? World famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth.
World famous.
He's our bitch. The Phil Faye. Henry Show.
Hey, Taylor.
All right, Margaret.
Taylor.
Okay, Margaret. Thank you.
World-famous Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. And don't forget our website, philhenryshow.com, the digital home of the world-famous Phil Henry Show. And we have an online store there as well. We have baseball caps, T-shirts. We have the Teds of Beverly Hills hoodie, which is one of our more successful creations. This is the Teds of Beverly Hills hoodie for summertime. It's a great time for the old hoodie, man, no matter where you live, because it gets cool at night. In a lot of areas here in California, it's a great thing to wear on the beach at night. And it has the Ted's logo on the front of it, and on the back, the very famous, we want to put our meat in your mouth, and it's a beautiful thing. We also have shot glasses. We also have our keychain, the Bobby Dooley keychains, tons of stuff. And it's all there, philhenryshow.com, philhenryshow.com, our online store. So we were sitting here talking, I don't know how we got into keys, because I was talking about, losing stuff, you know, like losing that picture. Only I didn't lose anything, and Dan was talking about losing the key, but I came home. I used to work in Minnesota, I used to work for WCCO Radio in Minneapolis, and I worked there for about a year, and my apartment was in St. Paul. That's like a freeway ride from downtown Minneapolis, these twin cities, and it's across the river. I think it's what the hell's the name of the river there? Minnesota River? I forget, but anyway. So, it was one of these deals. I was living in an apartment in Lower Town, St. Paul, and it just turns out that one of the guys that lived in the apartment there, in this large apartment complex, was a listener of mine and recognized me. And many mornings was getting off of work the same time I was getting off of work. So I'm not saying it was a bad thing, because people, you know, a lot of times you'll meet people that are fans, or they listen to your show. They're nice folks, and they let you do your thing. And hey, how you doing? Hey, you tough night today? Yeah, I hope you're, you know, nice to meet you. And yeah, you want to have a drink? Sure, because they're neighbors, you know. But sometimes people will go a little bit further than that. Sometimes, like, they want to ingratiate themselves. Maybe they want to be friends. Maybe they're knocking on your door a lot. And this guy would wait for me, you know?
Oh, my God.
No, hold on. It wasn't that bad. But what he was doing was, he knew I got home at a certain time. He got home maybe a few minutes before me, and he would wait at that door and have the door open for me, like I didn't know how to open the door. But in any event, that's what he did. So, and we talked. And not a bad guy, but, you know, I kind of like to come home and just open my own doors. But, all right, so that's all fine. One night, I don't know why I did this, I get home from work, because I worked late, man. I got off at 3 o'clock in the morning, so I would get home maybe a half hour later and unlocked the door to my apartment, go in, do whatever I do, which was generally get something to eat, watch TV, you know, check the voicemail, blah, blah, all this jazz, man, because it's the early 90s. It was just ahead of the day and age of computers, you know, so there were no real, you know, we didn't have our home computers the way we do now, so you weren't really online as much as you were, like, watching the tube, maybe on the phone, something like that. And then I go to bed, and the next morning I wake up and I go, oh, my God, I left my keys hanging in the door.
You left all of your keys?
Left all of my, and these were the days when you had a lot of keys. You notice how I don't have a lot, are you guys the same as, I don't have a lot of keys anymore. What is that about, man? I don't have keys to jack squat now. I got a key to my house. My car is keyless.
What's that mean, keyless?
You know what it means. You've been in it.
Oh, you got to push a button.
Yes.
Well, you still need the little remote key.
Yeah, okay, but I got a key to the house. That's it. Key to the studio, that's it. Back then, I had more bloody keys, and I'd left them hanging out of the door. I wake up in the morning going, my keys are hanging in the door to my apartment. Oh, my God. So I get out of bed, I open up the door, gone. They're not there.
Well, how do you know that's where they were?
Because that's where I knew they were. They were hanging out of the door of my apartment, and they were gone. They were gone. And I'm looking around. They're nowhere in the apartment. What did I think? First thing I thought of was this guy. You know? This guy's got my keys. Now, I don't know whether he had my keys or not, but that was the, you know, the paranoid nature of my thinking.
Did you go to the building superintendent to find out if they had any keys?
Of course. Yes, I went everywhere. I said, did anybody find any keys laying on this, that? Anybody turn any keys in? No. Which is even more suspicious to me. I mean, that was really super suspicious to me. Because if you find keys hanging out of a door, you're in an apartment complex. If you've got a shred of honesty in you, you're going to take them and either hold on to them and knock on the door and give them back to the person who lives there. If you can't make contact with that person, you give them to somebody who supervises the building. You're right. I didn't get either contact from this person, or whoever took them, and I'm totally convinced now it's this dude that was hanging around waiting for me, which, like, was really making me angry. And it just so happens, guess what?
What?
I never saw this guy after that. Never saw this guy again after that. Never. Never. All right? I didn't waste any time. The first thing I did was I got the locksmith up there to change the keys, to change the lock on my house, or on my apartment door. But then came the real hassle, and that was getting literally getting the ignition, the lock changed on the ignition.
What do you got to do that for? Why don't you just get new keys made?
Really? And
get your new keys made, man, if the damn key is the same key for the same lock, man.
Oh.
Yeah. So what are you, nuts, bud?
Whoa.
Never mind. Go ahead.
So, yeah, I had to bring a guy down. Have you ever done that? Have you ever had to have the actual ignition lock changed on your car because you are afraid that your key's been compromised somehow? I mean, dude, it's an all-day, well, it ain't all day, but I mean, it's a long job, you know? And I had a Chevrolet Blazer at the time, and Chevy sent a guy down there, and this was a big freaking process, all because I'm dumb, and I left my keys hanging out of my door, and they got ripped off. And I'm telling you, that's why I was even more convinced that it was this dude, because I never saw that guy again, man. This guy would be standing there at the door to my building from the underground garage. You know, we had an underground garage, and then you go to the door and get into the building. And you did have to use your key to get into that. So we had a building key. We had our apartment key, all kinds of keys. And this dude was all, and man, when my keys went missing, that's the last I saw that guy.
Well, why didn't he do something? Because you got the locks changed?
Yeah, I moved on it fast, man. I mean, I had the lock changed to my house.
But how'd you get in if you had a key?
I had duplicates, man, you know.
No, duplicate key, man.
What? I thought you said you were going to change the lock.
Hey, bud, think about it, man. I got a lock on my car. The key fits the lock. Hey, guess what? Here's another key that fits that lock, and there's another key that fits that lock. That's really cool. I have three keys, so I'm not worried about losing the keys. I have duplicate keys. Everything's good there, but guess what, man? The keys that I lost, I don't have them. Somebody else may have them, and the guy that has them may use them to get into my place and rip me off, dig, or steal my car.
Oh.
Yeah, God. So I had to have the lock changed, all kind of thing, man. Like that blues song, My Baby Done Changed the Lock on My Door? Yeah.
Not my door, her door. See? her door. Think about that, and think about it as a sexual symbol. I'm Margaret Gray.
Get out of here. The Phil Hendry Show, produced by Dan Northcraft and Phil Hendry. Join us online at philhendryshow.com. Get a backstage pass, and all of your problems have been solved. Get a backstage pass. All your worries have gone away. Get a backstage pass and make me just a little bit wealthier. Until tonight, let that be a lesson to you.
Whee!
Phil Hendry.